ద్రశామి తపసా పునః విభర్మి తపసా విశ్వం వీర్యం మే దుశ్చరం తపః తపసా పునః విభర్మి తపసా విశ్వం వీర్యం మే దుశ్చరం తపః సృజామి తపసై వేదం ద్రశామి తపసా పునః విభర్మి తపసా విశ్వం వీర్యం మే దుశ్చరం తపః సృజామి తపసై వేదం ద్రశామి తపసా పునః విభర్మి తపసా విశ్వం వీర్యం మే దుశ్చరం తపః What to what? Srijami, I create. Tapasa, by the same energy of penance. Eva, certainly. Idam, this. Drishami, Drishami tapasa. I do withdraw also by the same energy. Punaha, again. Vibharmi, do maintain tapasa by penance. Vishvam, the cosmos. Viryam, potency. Me, my. Duscharam, severe. Tapaha, penance. Translation, I create this cosmos by such penance. I maintain it by the same energy and I withdraw it by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance only. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. Even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in this material world. Why then are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master. And to execute that order, however painstaking is the severe type of penance, one who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితం యేన तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा ददामेयं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः। ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, welcome all of you to today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Before beginning, I would like to beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially seniors, the Gaurang Prabhu, so that I can speak something for my purification and something if there is for the inspiration of all the Vaishnavas. So, this continues the series of verses that we've been seeing for the past few weeks, which is on the theme of tapasya. So today's discussion will also be based on the continuing theme, which we have heard from so many speakers from the past few weeks who have discussed this theme so elaborately and from various different angles. So today's theme of tapasya, we would briefly discuss what tapasya is. Then we would look on this theme of tapasya from the pages of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, where Arjuna asks Krishna the difference between Tyaga and Sannyas. Further, Krishna speaks about the three types of tapaha in chapter 17, and we would elaborate mostly on the verse of how it pays to respect and do tapasya of bowing down to our seniors. So this would be fairly broadly the theme of our discussion that we would do over the next 40-45 minutes. So, what is tapasya? As Radha Gopinath Prabhu this Sunday, he explained and gave a definition to tapasya, which Srila Prabhupada also, when I was doing deity worship yesterday, I heard almost exactly Prabhupada speak the same words. So, tapasya means performing and accepting voluntary inconveniences in the present so that we stand to gain, if it may be, something in the future. Tapaha also signifies heat. Like we see the example of Dhruva Maharaj when he actually was performing those tapasyas. Finally, it comes to a stage where he stops breathing also. And then it generates so much heat that the demigods and all the devatas, they actually pray to the Lord saying there is so much of heat being created by the tapaha of Dhruva Maharaj. So, oh my Lord, please do something. So, in science, we see that when metals are melted, what happens? They actually, you know, get purified. Like when you take gold from the, as a raw material from the earth, you cannot use it as it is directly. You first need to purify it. And so it undergoes a certain process. That process which every metal or every person or every individual needs to undergo in his lifetime or in that particular commodity's existence and shelf life is defined as tapasya. So when you purify gold, it then can be solidified and it may be put to so many other uses in future. So we see in chapter 18 of the Bhagavad Gita that in the first verse, Arjuna questions Krishna about what is the difference between tyaga and sannyas. And Krishna, in the next verses that other, he answers them. Krishna says, Tyajyam dosha vidityeke karma prahur manishina yagya dana tapak karma na tyajyam iti chapare. He says, some people, they may choose to give up all fruitive actions altogether. And others who are wisely sages may choose to never give up on yajna, dana and tapa. And then further in the next verse, Nishchayam shrunume tatra, Krishna further tells Arjuna that certainly know, O beloved Partha, that renunciation is to be performed in three types. And then to solidify this in the next verse, Yajna dana tapak karma natyajyam karyam evacha. So here Krishna, he completely clarifies the situation to us and to Arjuna and says that know, my beloved friend, that three things are never supposed to be given up in our lifetime. That is yajna, dana and tapaha. So out of these three things, as the theme that is flowing in the last few verses is tapasya, we will be discussing on the theme and elaborating on the theme of tapasya and see about how Krishna has to say various things on this subject matter. So we see that consumerism is all around us. We take a car and we go through a suburb or we drive from the city. We see big, big billboards, and what do they attract? They are bombarding us with advertisements. All types of consumerism is there, trying to capture our attention. What do we do? We end up purchasing things, or we end up purchasing foodstuff that we don't like to eat. We end up purchasing clothes that we may not choose to wear later. And we end up buying gadgets that we may hardly use. So for every little thing, for self-control, sense restraint, there needs to be tapasya, which needs to be performed. There is tapasya in the mode of goodness, tapasya in the mode of ignorance, tapasya in the mode of passion. Today mainly we will be touching upon the subject matter of tapasya in the mode of goodness, where Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in chapter 17, text 14, 15 and 16, Krishna discusses three verses which give a fair amount of idea to all of us about what is tapasya or austerity, what does that mean. So in text number 14, Krishna says, Devadvijo guru prajna pojanam sauchamarjavam brahmacharyam nahimsacha shariram tapa uchate. So Deva, by Deva, Prabhupada writes in the translation that it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the purport it is said, also the devatas are indicated by the word Deva. Deva Dvija. Dvija signifies vipras or learned brahmanas. Guru, spiritual master. It may be your Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, somebody who has given you wisdom. And then Prajnyam also, our parents, elders, seniors, so many learned men. And Pujanam means you are supposed to worship all the above four. Further we see Brahmacharyam, which is very essential for tapasya, ahimsa and so on and so forth. This verse mainly signifies the austerity performed on the bodily level. So by such worship, by such tapasya, what do we stand to accrue? Two things we will gain by performing such tapasya. The first one is we acquire the mercy and blessings of our seniors and superiors by following this particular verse. And second is the ego, which is deep rooted within our heart, that tends to surely, slowly but surely vanish. It is vanquished when we perform this particular activity. And spiritual development, our spiritual development is basically based on the principle of offering respect and bowing down, performing this particular austerity. That is the foundational basis of this particular principle. If we want to develop spiritually, that is the prerequisite. further we see that Maya doesn't allow anyone to cross over so easily. Maya Javanika Channam, it's very, very strong. It will create an obstacle at every possible step. It just needs that little hole, like the eye of a needle, to just pierce, even that smaller than that. So to cross over the door of Maya, you need to perform tapasya. And we also see that the obstacles can only be cleared, which Maya may pose in our path, by acquiring the grace of our superiors, seniors, guru, and so many learned brahmanas. How do we do this? For that, we have to cultivate the qualities of humility, selflessness, service attitude, without any ulterior motives. And when one cultivates and develops that, definitely that deep-rooted ego which is there in the core of our heart, slowly but surely will let go the stranglehold with which it is actually catching and deep-rooted within our heart. So this is very essential principle. And then also when we see that when we achieve success, it generally tends to go to our head. So better than letting the success go head high, let it be going heart deep. So that if we are grateful to all our superiors and we worship our superiors, repeatedly bow down to them, we are always protected and we will stay in safe hands. So this is the first type of austerity that the Lord mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu mentions in his class when he speaks about this particular theme, he says that Prabhupada in this verse, he speaks about offering worship or learning to offer worship, of bowing down or learning to bow down. So he mentions that in the initial days when Prabhupada had started this movement, so there were a few people who were following Prabhupada. And at that time he didn't have anyone, because training is essential for any activity that we do. Without training, nothing can become perfect. So Prabhupada had to do this thankless task in the initial days. People were not offering obeisances. So as the guru, as the spiritual master, Prabhupada himself in the initial days used to tell some of his disciples, you should bow down. Offering obeisances to guru is written in the scriptures. So one disciple told Srila Prabhupada, but I don't feel like bowing down. So Prabhupada said, offer respects and bow down now. Feeling will come later. So by this particular activity, we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Rath Yatra just concluded. So in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sees a deity or Lord Jagannath, he comes running towards Lord Jagannath and he faints in ecstasy. We may not be having such ecstasies when the Sringar Darshan of the Lord opens. Today is the Tithi birthday of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So when they give Darshan, we may not be having such ecstasies that as soon as the darshan opens, Radha Gopinath, actually it is written in the scriptures that one should fall down as a stick and faint. So depending on our spiritual levels, if it is not possible for us to faint, Prabhupada says at least start with falling down. And when you fall down, that is the beginning or setting the mood for a culture of offering respects to our seniors. The sannyasis also carry three danda. What do they signify? They signify that they will serve the Lord with manasa, vacha, karmana, mind, body and words. Now let us go to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Pandavas are headed to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Bhishma Pitama is lying on the bed of arrows. And when the Pandavas and especially Yudhishthir nears him, Bhishma Pitama recognizes why Yudhishthir Maharaj is coming at this particular time to meet Yudhishthir. The ninth chapter of the first canto has a beautiful verse that Bhishma Dev speaks to Yudhishthir Maharaj at that particular time. Aho kashtam aho nyayam yadyuyam dharma nandana jivitum narhata klishtum vipra dharma chuta shrayaha. So here Bhishma Dev sees and he says, before even Yudhishthir comes to him, that what terrible sufferings have befallen upon you. How many injustices ahu anyayam. How many injustices have y'all have got to undergone in this particular lifetime? It doesn't behoove you, but still y'all have gone through the tapasya of actually living through this lifetime. So at first only, he melts the heart of Yudhishthir by speaking this particular line. And Yudhishthir and the Pandavas were put into difficulty. They had to undergo so many injustices. And the battle of Kurukshetra in one sense was fought just in retaliation to counteract this particular injustice which was done on the Pandavas by the Kauravas. So Pandavas, Bhishma Dev in this particular verse, he tells Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas that, do you know why you were successful? What is the secret of your success? Because you offered respect, worshipped and served Guru Dvija Deva Prajna. They protected you at every step. That is the sole reason, main reason for which you have been protected. And the tapasya that the Pandavas actually performed of worshipping their seniors goes a long way to actually show to us what is in store for us if we actually try to practice and inculcate this basic, seemingly so easy activity, which actually is not so easy. Why? Because when we further see and break down this pastime, let us just analyze who these Pandavas are. Who is Arjuna? Arjuna is arguably the world's greatest archer, the number one bowman in the entire creation and universe, and he could actually annihilate and defeat single-handedly so many, Akshoinis of Sena. That is the power that Arjuna actually possessed. And then when we see, when he went to Indraloka and the heavenly kingdoms for acquiring divine weapons, Arjuna is having advances by Urvashi, and then he has that self-restraint of avoiding those advances. And in fact, he gets cursed in the bargain, which is a blessing in disguise. So Arjuna exhibited self-restraint, such severe tapasya, instead of having so much of power. Bhimsen, the very time that he took birth, he fell on the ground. So when a child falls to the ground, his bones are supposed to break. But instead of the child's bones, the rock breaks into two parts here. So that is the power of Bhimsen. And when he's poisoned in future and he's transported to the Naga Loka, we read that when he actually comes out of that particular episode, he comes out much stronger and he gets blessings of the strength of 10,000 elephants. So when such strong people are there, such powerful people are there, such successful people are there, generally the tendency of successful, it is very easy to be humble, to bowing down, touch one's feet, everybody's feet, when one is a new bhakta or when one joins, in the new devotional service and comes to the movement in the beginning. But then as you learn, as you grow, then tendencies start, which are deep-rooted within our heart, they start manifesting. And we come to know, we don't even come to know. On a subtle level, we might see, why do I need to bow down to this person? Why do I need to bow down at this particular circumstance? So this is something which is deep-rooted. And here, from the pages of Bhagavatam, through the examples of learned people and powerful people, successful people like the Pandavas, we are actually learning to see what it pays to be respectful and paying respects, worshipping Guru Dveva Dvijo Prajna. Duryodhan, he is compared to being the tree of the Kaurav side, and he actually exemplifies pride. Now let us just compare what with regards to this particular verse, how Duryodhan is situated as compared to Yudhishthir and the Pandavas. So here this verse says Vipra Dharmarchut Ashraya. So in this context, we see that did Duryodhan respect Vipras, Brahmanas or seniors? No. Which episode, goes to show that? Where we see Vidura, when Duryodhan actually, he completely alienated and he told Vidura to get out of the kingdom at one point of time when he couldn't tolerate the suggestions and advice that Vidura was giving as a learned person and senior member in his assembly. So Duryodhan actually said, just get out of this kingdom and I allow you to only carry your breath. Nothing else you can take from this kingdom. So this is the kind of respect that Duryodhan accorded to his seniors. So Vidur Niti, it has one particular line, and even in the Mahabharata, comparatively the same verse, but Vidur Niti says, Nasa Sabha Yatrana Santi Vriddha. That Sabha, which is devoid of any seniors, is not considered to be a Sabha. This is Vidura, specifying in Vidur Niti. So there is a story in this particular regard. So one time there was a proposal and the boy and the girl side were talking with each other. So the girl side says, we have only just one condition. We are agreeing for the marriage. All the terms and conditions are fulfilled, but there should be no elders in this marriage ceremony. Somehow or the other, the boy sides agree to this proposal. And then when the time comes, they had a grandfather from the boy's side. So he was very attached and he said, how can I not see my grandchild's wedding? I need to be there. Come what may, you need to take me to this wedding. But then they were in two minds. How do we fulfill? Then he said, you hide me, you build a box for me or put me in the back seat of the vehicle, but I need to see my grandson's wedding. So nevertheless, they prepare a big box and put the grandfather inside that box. And then they prepare and leave for the wedding. And when they reach the outskirts of the girl's house, there a messenger comes and he tells these people that the marriage can happen only on one condition now, that you see this river which is flowing, if the water which is flowing in the river you can replace with milk, then we will marry our daughter to your son. Now everybody becomes completely heartbroken and despondent, saying, what type of condition and what type of, situation are they asking? This is not something which can be fulfilled by ordinary people. And then they say, theek hai, abhi dadaji ko khol do peti se, vaise bhi shaadi hone se rahi, kam se kam let him come out. So then the grandfather is, opened from the box and he comes out and he says, where is the groom? Where is the girl? Where is my daughter-in-law, I want to see her. So then he says, there is no wedding happening because such and such condition has been put by the girl side. So he says, so what? Don't worry. You just do one thing. Send a message, return to the girl side. You ask them, first you remove all the water from this river. We will fill the milk in the river then. So as soon as they get this message, they say, hey, there is some old person that they have got along, because it takes lot of wisdom for someone to speak like this. A person who's thoroughly undergone the trials and tribulations of his life develops worldly wisdom like this to deal with every situation that may come at every point of time. The wife of Narayan Murthy, Sudha Murthy also, she is a big philanthropist. So she is dealing with so many, taking care of so many people. So one time, one young boy comes with an elderly lady to the Vriddhashram and applies for admission in the NGO that is run by Sudha Murthy. And then finally the case, goes to her. And he says, so I found her here and so, please, it will be very nice if you could accommodate her in and give her shelter. She is accepted. 6 months pass by, this boy again comes and now visits this particular NGO. And at that time again, somehow or the other, she happens to be there at that particular place. And she says, I know, this is your mother. So, this is a true story. This is the civilization that we are today living in. Children are not ready to take care of their old parents. They feel they are burdened. So, and such ashrams are opening left, right and center. So what type of culture are we encouraging? This is more of a need that has been created because people are not willing to follow the culture that is given and emphasized by scriptures, especially this particular shloka. So it's really a pitiable situation that of all the countries, we also today are slowly but surely moving towards this particular lifestyle. So let us now see, we saw that Vidura was disrespected. Then he disrespects Achyuta. We have the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where Duryodhan says, bind this Krishna. And then when he actually goes to ask Krishna for something, instead of Lord Narayan himself, he chooses the Narayani Sena. Of course, you can see a subtle disrespect there. And Duryodhan himself was completely demoniac, adharmic. So in that particular way, Duryodhan, he breaks all these three things. No respect to Vipra, no respect to Achyuta, no respect to even Dharma. As against this, let us compare Yudhishthir. Who was Yudhishthir Maharaj? He respected Vedavyas, he respected Vidura Muni, and then he respect for Lord Krishna is beyond comparison. Even in the Brahmanas, when the Pandavas were ostracized, all the Brahmanas led by Dhaumya Muni and the sages chose to go with the Pandavas in the forest. So this shows how the Brahmanas were very pleased and how they were offering. I mean, the tapasya that the Pandavas were willing to undergo, even with meager resources, they were willing to take care of the Brahmanas and serve them. So that is tapasya of the body that they executed. Then respect for seniors. When Yudhishthir Maharaj, he learned that this kula I'll be the cause for destruction of this kula. He took a vow that from today, I will never disobey my senior Dhritarashtra, who actually never, you know, thought well for him. But still, Yudhishthir always, never was a time where Yudhishthir actually spoke harshly or ill about Dhritarashtra. So from the pages of Bhagavad Gita, from the pages of Bhagavatam, it is so nicely demonstrated by the Pandavas that how it pays to worship, and it is not easy. It is actually one of the biggest and tallest austerities. It may seem very easy for someone. How many of us touch the feet of our parents when we get up in the morning? Something like this was prevalent in our Vedic times and cultural activity which was binding every family. But nowadays, what is the youth having? The youth will question, why should I do this? Why should I come to the temple? Why should I respect my seniors? I need freedom of speech. This is the narrative which is flowing in today's world. So we have a verse from the Subhashit which answers this particular question. So it is Abhivadana Shilasya Nityam Vriddhopasevina Chatvari Tasya Vardhante Ayur Vidya Yasham Balam. So here it says Ayur, age, Vidya, knowledge, Yasham, success, and Balam, strength. These four aspects in every human being will slowly but surely increase. Chatvari tasya vardhante. When you are abhivadana shilasya and nityam vriddhopa sevina. That means a person who is very humble in his disposition and is not reluctant to worship and offer respect to his seniors. So by these verses from the scriptures, from the pages of the Bhagavatam, it is so wonderfully demonstrated to us that how it is so important for us and what are we standing to gain by just doing a relatively very simple act. And as I said earlier, it may be simple, but it is very difficult, especially when we become somebody, when we become something in life, that is, we feel we have become someone in life. We feel we have achieved, we have got something in life. That is the real time for test for every individual to go back and reflect and ponder over such verses. And these will remind us about, are we actually sticking to the fundamentals? Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows, he was not someone who was wanting to flatter someone or speak some goody-goody stuff. He was almost on the verge of leaving his body. And when we generally see somebody who leaves his body doesn't seem to flatter. So there he actually tells these verses and these things to Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas to demonstrate to all of us the significance and importance of what we stand to achieve, what we stand to gain if we are willing to follow and do this austerity of this particular body. As I said earlier, again to reiterate this point, it is very difficult. Maya is very, very powerful. She will not allow us to cross over. Spiritual development depends upon this particular aspect. So if we want, like you want to enter, we have our flower festival and so many other festivals. So it pays to be serving, it pays to offer respects and always, you know, performing certain activities. You are known. You are always, you know, you are a good standing devotee. So somebody from behind will say to the security, leave him inside. Similarly, when Maya has her gates closed, it will always pay us to have some seniors, some elders, some parents, Guru, the Lord, Devatas, who will be there vouching for us on our behalf. And by their grace, it will be possible for us to actually cross over these missions. So bowing down is an austerity of the body. The next one that we would briefly like to touch upon is saucham. Now cleanliness is also next to godliness. It's such a wonderful saying. Cleanliness also, it pays to be clean. But are we really clean? Cleaning, clean means inside and outside, not only external, but internally. How do we clean ourselves internally? We can perform the austerity of cleaning our mind by scrutinizingly reading scriptures and memorizing verses. Always, any circumstance that comes in front of us, there are so many wonderful ways to pick and choose what is the verse which connects to this particular circumstance that I am thrown in. So you can cleanse your heart by reading and scrutinizingly reading scriptures. And also, these are elementary things. At certain points of time, you know, we may be busy. But then, why do we need to clean our particular locker in the first place? Maybe then our room, maybe then our temple, then our society and our heart. Because what is inside, that is reflected outside. You cannot do something or you cannot show something externally that you do. At sure but surely at some point of time, it will come out. In our temple itself, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has paid tremendous amount of regard to this aspect. Maybe in the early 2000s, Gaurang Prabhu, he used to take Gaurang Prabhu at so many other places. One place in kitchen, at some time he took Prabhuji and he said, and took his finger and made him touch that door. And he said, you see this dust? So many instances at different places, Maharaj has particularly shown by his own example. And then Vasudev Prabhu and others came with Gopinath shining. And then today we are seeing, just because of the intent of our leader in that particular instance, there are so many people who now are appreciating and are feeling, who wouldn't have come to our temple if we wouldn't have kept it so sparkling and clean, and are thankful. One of the compliments that we get in feedbacks from random strangers who visit temples, we are very happy to see the standards of cleanliness in your temple or in ISKCON temples worldwide also. So that is something that Prabhupada has started. Also we see that in UK, the queen or the prince or the royal family, they never used to take bath for months together. So what happened? After 6 months, sometimes the time would come then they would need to bathe. And a term was coined out of this. Anything that they do is supposed to be royal. So this terminology also turned out to be a royal bath. With after 6 months someone is bathing and you call it a royal bath. And then you put all types of substances inside. So cleanliness should not be like that also. Jeans. How did jeans originate? It was basically used by the mill workers who were supposed to do such laborious tasks and in unclean environment. So a product like jeans was used by them to wear at that particular time. Why? They didn't need to wash it day in, day out. But today, what started at that time as just a utility thing has become a fashion, and we can't even clean it. That thing is so thick. So these are certain subtle aspects of cleanliness. The Jagannath Rath Yatra just happened, and on the live telecast, the Gajapati performs a ceremony before the cart actually moves. So it is said that he wears white dress first of all, and then he will broom the place. He sprinkles chandan powder, chandan water. This is the commentator. He was giving commentary on Doordarshan. He was telling all these things. So when he puts and sprinkles all these things, after that, sprinkling of auspicious things and doing all these things, the Lord's cart moves. So white implies goodness and cleanliness. The more we keep our things and surroundings clean, clean thoughts will enter our heart and percolate, and then your heart and mind will become fertile for spiritual knowledge to be disseminated. The next shloka is Anudvega Karam Vakyam Satyam Priyahitam Chayat. So Gaurang Darshan Prabhu, I had heard this from one of his talks. So he says, Krishna says in this verse, Anudvega, that means you should speak things which are beneficial, things which are speaking. But that same Krishna in the second or third chapter, he says, and he performs, Udvega on Arjuna. He says, Klaibhyam Smagamapartha. How is this impurities? You are a eunuch. How is such impurities come upon you? And chastises Arjuna. So then he was just relating these two shlokas and saying, on one side we see Krishna instructing us that this is the figure of speech and austerity of speech. You should always speak pleasing, beneficial. But then how is Krishna also speaking to Arjuna like this? Because the second, after Anudvega, it is Satyam Priyahitam. So because whatever, Krishna was always Priya to Arjuna, and there was so much of investment. So when you have some type of investment with somebody, then it pays and it doesn't bother to basically speak something which is in the best interest of that particular individual. Like Vidura, he also spoke so-called harshly to Dhritarashtra, but then what did it do? It actually relieved Dhritarashtra of the distress of this material world, and he retired, chose to retire, or he was rather forced to retire by these words. But the investment and relationship of Vidura and Dhritarashtra enabled them to perform this act. So a learning for us from this particular verse is, as preachers or as leaders, we just cannot go and speak anything in the name of Satyam to anyone. We always need to be sensitive to whom we are speaking, what the situation is. In the name of Shastra, we just cannot go and speak something, and it might have a complete adverse effect. So we need to be sensitive. Like Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, Na Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam. Speak truth, but in a non-agitating way. Also, it has to be pleasing, beneficial. Otherwise, you may choose to remain silent. Like the example of a butcher's chasing the bull, and the bull running past a particular sage who was sitting. So in the quest of speaking the truth, he just pointed his finger. The consequence was the butcher butchered the particular cow. So he incurred the sin of killing the cow. So, truth should not be spoken at the such particular circumstances when it is not palatable. Chanakya Pandit says that if one wants to rule this particular world, he should have the power of speech. One who can actually have control over the austerity of speech can very easily conquer the entire world. Our Prime Minister, a perfect orator, apart from this also, we have so many examples when we see that if you possess the oratorship or the power of speech, it just goes and it aids you in accomplishing so many tasks. At the same time, one might say, you should call a spade a spade. So Here the example of Srila Prabhupada, he was serving in the initial years in Bowery and New York, and at that time he was staying with Sally Agarwal. So in his fridge also, when Prabhupada was cooking, there was non-veg kept, but Prabhupada didn't preach something to them at that time. He just tolerated such circumstances. He was forced to live with Mayavadis like Dr. Mishra. Prabhupada never accepted his philosophy. Prabhupada never compromised on teachings. But then what did he do? Dr. Mishra says that if it was not, he fondly remembers Prabhupada's contribution, that Swamiji was so regulated, Swamiji was so loving and nice, he made sure that he not only cooked for me, but he also made sure that I had enough, and because my schedule was completely unregulated, because of him my health didn't collapse, he brought me on regulation and he regulated my lifestyle. So he is thankful and appreciating Prabhupada. When he was interviewed much later, he fondly recollects and remembers Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada fondly recollects, Prabhupada actually teaches us that how philosophically you might be different, but culturally we can always unite. And sometimes in the quest of speaking truth in this world, we may just say that I can speak the truth, but I should be the only human being alive on this planet. So that should also not be our circumstance. Also, I remember when Radha Gopinath Prabhu came to our house one time back in 1994. So my mother that time just asked him, so would you like to have tea? So Prabhuji, we fondly remember this, how he replied. He just replied, he could have replied, oh, we don't drink tea, it is not recommended, we should not drink tea. But then he just made a wonderful, nice statement. He just said, oh, tea, I loved it once upon a time. So by just saying this statement, it was so nice that the message was communicated to the other person that it's not a problem, you could have it now, but then, I don't have it, you should not serve. So this is certain things that our seniors also so lovingly have demonstrated to us, and it is for us to inculcate and learn these things from our seniors. So we need to practice these austerities of mind, body, words. Also we see that austerities in the mode of ignorance, austerities in the mode of passion, like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, when they performed severe austerities, where the motive behind that, at the cost of injuring oneself, was to cause harm to others and to control. So that is not a good thing and will not lead us anywhere. So we should be trying to practice tapasya as enunciated in the mode of goodness. And like we said, gold is purified. We should be that gold and perfect our life by being that gold, which can become a very nice decorative ornament at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And when we serve, worship, offer respects in such way that we are becoming instruments in the service and decorations at the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath, then as that gold is purified, there is some hope for us also to be purified. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.